Thanks for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Acts. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Paul stands up in the midst of Areopagus and says, "Men of Athens, I perceive in that all things you are very religious." The word religious there means demonic. And it means demons is what it means. It means being superstitious. But here's the thing. For the Greeks, demons didn't mean actually the sons of devils. And so they saw demons just being equated with different gods, foreign gods, things like that. So to us, it seems like Paul gives them a real zinger. But to them, they're going, yeah, we worship all sorts of demons or foreign gods. And so to them, they don't take offense at that. Verse 23. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Literally, it's an unknown God. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I will proclaim to you." In Athens alone, they served or they worshiped over 30,000 different deities, okay? Archaeology has uncovered many, many temples, and several that will say an unknown God to it. So what the Athenians, what the Greeks wanted to make sure of is that, look, we're always discovering a new God. And so once we do, we want to give him his due. And so we understand, we're so open-minded that there's quite possibly a God we don't know yet. And so we give them this altar to an unknown God so they won't be upset until he reveals himself. Paul comes along and says, this is a great opportunity to explain to him who this unknown God is. And so this is what Paul is going to do here. He says, "Him I proclaim to you, that God who is unknown to you." And so Paul's going to declare five characteristics of this unknown God. The first one, he says in verse 24, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since the Lord of heaven and earth does not dwell in temples made with hands." What has he just said? He has just said that the very first characteristic of this God is that he is the creator of everything and he is the source of all life. He has made the world and everything in it. Not like your little gods that is just the God of thunder, the God of the sea, God of land, God of this, God of that, but not the God of everything. What has Paul just done? The God that I'm talking about is greater than all your gods because he is the creator of everything. Of everything. He made the world and everything in it. And guess what? You can't contain him in a temple. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nothing can contain him. That's how big he is. Second characteristic is that God is also self-sufficient. Verse 25. And here's the reason he's telling them this is because in Greek mythology, all the deities have their strength by how many people worship them. They draw their strength from what you do for them. That's where they get their strength from. And so Paul is telling them that nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. God is self-sufficient. And so us worshiping him isn't what gives him strength or makes him happy. Okay? He is self-contained. He's bigger than that. Third characteristic is that God is the creator of humanity, Acts 17:26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. So important that you know where this scripture is, as we will expound on here in a moment. But he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. What Paul's just declared to them is something that is totally contrary to their thinking. They thought that God himself, that one of the gods, the Athenians claim that they have sprung from their own native soil of Greece. That is where they came from. That other nations came from, but they actually came from the very soil of Greece. Paul's telling them, not so. We've all come from the same place, from the same blood, and that would be Adam. That would be Adam and Eve. There's only one race. It's the human race. We've heard that before, but it is oh so true. It is so true. Sometimes we think, well, this is my culture. This is who I am. No, you're not. You're a human being. And once you come to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, all walls are broken down. And that's who your family is, those in Christ Jesus. And you will have more in common with those in Christ Jesus than whatever your ethnic background is, because your ethnic background doesn't mean anything before the Lord. We all come from one place, one race. We all come from Adam and Eve. So he says this, Paul declares, God has determined their pre-appointed times. Who? All of humanity. And he has done what? He has given them boundaries, human habitation. So God has determined the boundaries of all nations, and Greece is no exception. And here's a fourth characteristic. God has a desire. Here's one of the characteristics of God. He has a desire that all would seek him. So right here, verse 27 gives the purpose of verse 26. Verse 26 here, and he has made one blood, every nation, men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has determined their pre-appointed times, the boundaries of their dwellings. For what reason? So they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him, find him, though he's not far from any one of us. I find this very, very fascinating, because you have to understand what is being spoken of here. You need to understand what has just been said. From God's word, not from Dave Love's lips, from God's word that you're reading as well, it says this. It says that God has determined who, when, and where a person is to be born. For what reason? That they would seek the Lord. Oh, it's not fair about the person that was born 2,000 years ago that lived there because he doesn't know Jesus. That right there, it says, that is not true. God has determined pre-appointed times and boundaries for every single living people. Why? So they would seek the Lord. So that person, and you can plop them anywhere on the globe today, why did God predetermine for them to be born there at this time? Am I wrong? Does it not say, in order to seek the Lord? It does. God has created every single human being at the time and placed them wherever it is on the globe for one reason and one reason only, to seek the Lord. Now, we went over there in much more detail in our hard questions for solid answers. What about those who have never heard? And we have come to this conclusion according to God's word. We are told that everybody has been placed upon the world in order to seek the Lord. Now, my question to you is God not going to be found if you truly seek him? That's not true. The Bible tells us all through the Word of God, seek and you will find him. So if he has created you and placed you somewhere so that you would seek him, and you do, then you will what? Find him. Now, Dave, can you explain how that happens everywhere in all? No, I can't. But God has said that is so. And he backs it up with his word time and time again. John 1, 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Through whom? That light. He was not that light, John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming in the world. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus is the light. And he was the light before we knew him as what? Jesus. He's still that light that has come into the world, into every man in the world, it says. Romans 1, 18 and 19 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, who do what? Suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The only way you can suppress the truth is to have the truth. What is the truth that you suppress? The truth that you need to seek God. That light that has been given, you've suppressed that. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. How? The very next verse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. One of the things that is going to burn inside of you, what God has already placed there, is that when you look out and you realize there's no way in the world this happened by chance. There's something greater than myself. I see this amazing design, which means there has to be a designer. And so that creates in you this desire, I got to seek him. But wicked people suppress that. They suppress the truth because it is manifest in them. The only way you can suppress the truth is that you have the truth. That light that has been given to you, that light that you are to seek him. And if you seek him, you'll be found by him. You'll be found by him. That's God's word. Romans 2:12 talks about those who haven't gotten full revelation, though. The Jews got full revelation. They spoke to God. God gave them their laws. He revealed himself to them through the different oracles and the feasts and festivals and the way he blessed them and the way he interacted with them. God gave them full revelation, which is one of the reasons why they fell under such great judgment. Too much is given, much is required. But there are those who don't get the full revelation. That is what Romans 2 is all about. Verse 12, it says, for as many of us sin without the law will perish without the law, and as many of us sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, they weren't given full revelation, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having law, are law unto themselves. If instead they go seeking after God, because that is in everyone, then guess what? Then they are going to be judged according to that, of that revelation that was given to them. Who show the work of law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts, either accusing or excusing them. So I use this to be able to paint a picture for you. There's two umbrellas, okay? Here's the umbrella of general revelation, where everybody's given the light, the truth is manifest in them, that God created everybody to seek him that we have just seen. And then we have the umbrella of full revelation over here. As soon as you begin to seek after God and go after God, I believe, and we've been able to show this with Cornelius and everything, that further revelation will be given. But as you're continuing that search, if you are cut off and die before you have a chance to be able to get full revelation, then you're under this umbrella that you get judged according to the light that was given to you. Jesus is the light. So those who said, but it's only in the name of Jesus. Hey, before we even knew his name was Jesus, he was still the light. You're judged according to that. But once you have been shown and explained and the gospel has given to you, of the full revelation of who God is through his son, Jesus Christ, you go from general revelation to full revelation. You're now under this umbrella of how you're going to be judged. And you're going to be judged whether you have received Jesus or not. Now, there are people, and you might have been one of them one time, or maybe there's someone here today. I don't think it's fair that I live in a country where the full revelation of Jesus is given so I can have eternal life, and that there's other places that that full revelation isn't given. So because of that, that's why I reject Christianity. Can I just tell you this? That's stupid thinking. And here's the reason why it's stupid thinking. God has brought you full revelation in order for you to do what? Receive it. So you could be what? A light and a witness and help those come to full revelation. Those who don't have that full revelation are still under that general revelation. And if they are going after the light that has been given through general revelation, they're going to be okay. Why? Because Jesus is the light, is what we're told here. But for you to say, nah, it doesn't seem fair with that, that doesn't make sense, I'm not going to receive the Lord, then my question is, then you better carry that through the rest of your life. Because there are people around this world that don't have a car. And it's not fair. So what are you doing driving a car? There are people in this world that don't have a home. That's not fair. You're right. It's not. But if God has brought you the opportunity to live in a house, are you not going to take that? There are some people don't have a job that they cannot eat. Are you going to not eat even though you have the opportunity to eat? Because it's not fair. You won't. So don't do that when it comes to your eternity. That makes no sense. And you're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't think it was fair that, who? Well, that so-and-so over, what, do you know his name? Well, people. What people? Well, these people that lived at this time, you mean these people that are in heaven right now that went with the light that was given and truly did seek me, and you have no idea what was going on through that whole time, but you made this assessment when my word has told you I've created everyone to be put in a place at that time in order to do what? Seek me. That's what the word of God teaches. And we also know from Psalm 19, verse 9, that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And for us to go in a direction saying, that's not right, should reveal to you that's because you are all wrong and you are not God. But God says my judgments are going to be true. And what the Bible makes very clear, if you're presented with the person of Jesus Christ and you reject that, you have chosen at that point hell. And you will have no one to blame but yourself if you end up there. God is just going to give you what you are asking for. I don't want to spend eternity with you. Okay, then you're going to be in a place that is very dark, unloving, and uncomfortable. You chose that. God didn't. He's just given you what you chose. So, as we move on here, the fifth characteristic is that God is a preserver of man. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Hey, we have our very existence because of God. And he says, this isn't too foreign for you because you believe that you come from Zeus. And he's saying, look, we are his offspring in this way. He created man, and we all come from Adam. We all come from Adam. So he goes on, and he now deals with man's responsibility to this unknown God is no longer unknown to them. They are now coming from the umbrella of general revelation to now coming over to the umbrella of total revelation, full revelation. And because he has now explained who this unknown God is, what is it that Paul says? He says this, verse 30, verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, meaning that we have come from Adam, we ought not to think that the divine nature is gold, silver, stone, something shaped by art, man's devising, something temporary. He's eternal. He has created everything. So instead, here's your responsibility, verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance under general revelation, God has overlooked. The word overlooked there means he's chosen not to punish. He's long-suffering. You don't know that much. You're going off by what little you do know. Okay. He says those times are over. Why? But now commands all men everywhere to repent. This gospel is not being contained just with the Jews. It's now going out everywhere. And once you hear it, he's commanding you to repent. Change your thinking. Understand you can now have right relationship with God. And he commands what? All men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. To do what? Repent. And God isn't going to call you to do something that he's not going to enable you to do. And he enables everyone to repent. And then he gives the final reason here that God is going to judge all man, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is the one that's going to judge. And the reason he can do that, he's the only one that has been raised from the dead. Bodily resurrection, he beat death. So again, to be able to show that he is God, only God can beat death. So, two reactions to what Paul had to say. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some of them mocked. Some mocked. That's always going to happen when you teach the truth. Someone's want to mock, some opposition. There's others that go, we'll hear you again on this matter. And that's sometimes even a more dangerous place to be, because you keep pushing it off, you keep pushing it off, you keep pushing it off. And so it says in verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Verse 34, however, some men joined him and believed. among them Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Demarius, and others with them. And so I've read commentary after commentary of people that I truly do respect that would say that Paul's sermon here was a failure. And it was a failure because not that many people came to know the Lord, and because he forgot to use the crucifixion, that it's the cross, it's the cross, it's the cross. Now, I agree and disagree. I disagree in that this is a failure because people came to know the Lord. I disagree because, for one, the word of God does not return void. And he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection before that. That's what brought him to that place. And he was cut off before he could finish. But I would say this, I do agree with this, that Paul somehow learned from this time here in Athens. Because when he goes next, he's going to go to Corinth. And when he's in Corinth, he does things differently. You can tell by the way that Paul kind of brought this sermon about and the way he was ministering to them is that he was trying to be very wise with his words. He was trying to be very clever of how he brought about who God is, how he's greater, and that's why he's not like your other gods. And he seemed to be very clever with his words. From here on out, we don't see Paul doing that. Instead, we always see him emphasizing the cross. So much so that he says in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words." The Greeks loved wisdom. They wanted clever ways to be able to reason and things like that. Paul seemed to kind of do that in this message to the Athenians. "Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so from here on out, we see that when Paul is reasoning with people, he brings them back to the crucifixion. He brings them back to the cross. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:22, further on down, he says, "For the Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And then he says in 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." He seems to be saying that in such a way as, "I've done it before. I'm not going to do that again." And so he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified." I'm not going to even go in a different way. I'm just going to maintain. I'm just going to preach Christ, him crucified. "I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or human wisdom." That doesn't seem to be the way it was of what we just went over here in Acts 17. "And my preaching, not with persuasive words or human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power," which comes from what? The cross. "And your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so it seems like he learned something from that encounter. I don't think he did anything wrong, but I do think that he kind of refined what it is, how he was going to preach the word after that point. Now, you're talking about Paul that at this point has now been walking with the Lord for about 15 years, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, and even he came to a greater understanding maybe of how he was going to give forth the gospel. I love that. Paul hasn't even arrived. And he kind of looks at it and goes, "I don't, you know, not that I did anything wrong or God wasn't able to bless, but I'm able to kind of look at that and just kind of go, next time it's going to be Jesus Christ and him crucified." Amen? Let's pray.
That's all we have time for today on this Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Acts. Fall is here, which means it's time for our annual Harvest Festival. On October 31st, Calvary Castle Rock will be hosting a wonderful free event for the whole family. The night will include carnival games, inflatables, high strikers, face painting, funnel cakes, food, and of course, lots of candy. So come on out and join us from 4 to 8 p.m. October 31st. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.